You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history. Are you ready? Let's get ready to rumble!
I think Biden is a nasty enough guy that you don't have to worry about, you know, not being being too careful with him. I mean, he said terrible things about the president. So the president has every right to take his head off if he wants. I think this is a great opportunity for the president to really just be himself. He doesn't have to hold back very much. He doesn't have to hold back at all, really.
And there you have it, Rudy Giuliani saying he should just take Biden's head off tonight. It's going to be a rumble! And, of course, will Biden fall asleep during the time? Some are saying that maybe President Trump has lowered the bar of expectations so much, or raised it so much, depending on your view, they could hurt him, one way or the other. The bottom line is, how's it going to play out on screen live? And, of course, Fox News' Chris Wallace will be handling the monitoring duties. And a lot of folks that watch Fox News have taken more and more of an attitude lately that Chris Wallace has moved more and more to the left, that he will be tougher on Trump than he will be on Biden. Do you agree? We are getting word that the Biden campaign wants to allow a third party to inspect the ears of each debater for electronic devices or transmitters. The president camp said, we're okay with that. Biden so far apparently not doing so. And over the past several weeks, the former vice president campaign has requested two breaks, one every 30 minutes, to break up the 90-minute commercial-free program. That request denied by Trump, saying, no, let's just get him up there. A Trump campaign source told Fox News, our guy doesn't need breaks. He gives 90-minute speeches all the time. That's a fact. And Biden doesn't do that much. And remember him during the debates when he was answering a question? He would sometimes stop himself because he ran out of what he could say or knowledge and would say, well, I don't want to take all the time, so I'll stop here and let someone else have an answer. That's not what you do. You control the stage as much as possible. And, of course, both apparently have been doing some mock debates back and forth. Biden had said, as of Wednesday this week, he was not going to be available for anything because he wanted to make sure he's ready. Trump supposedly has not really done that much, but they have had a few little mock debates. We're going to get into that in more detail. And if you look at the direction already from the mainstream media, they're already indicating that Biden has won even before the debate starts. And you can expect that to be the line. They will be looking for anything and everything that will look like it's a win for Biden. You're going to hear later in the next 2 hours Rudy Giuliani point out some things that are almost laughable, that they will probably say, that's a win for Biden. And if you look at the way the CNN head page is pushing this, they're saying the president's looking for an 11th-hour lifeline. And, of course, they're also saying he's going to have to count for the failed virus response. All right, virus is going to be on the issue, COVID, the economy, and so forth. And I'm sure Trump will push the Biden-Ukraine connections, and Biden will push the tax returns supposedly released by the New York Times. It's going to be a free-for-all in many cases. We're also going to be joined over the next 2 hours by Andrew Putzer, Trump's first nominee for Department of Labor, former CEO of CKE Restaurants. He's got a book out, It's Time to Let Americans Work Again. I fully agree with that. You'll want to hear what he has to say. And, of course, the attacks on Amy Coney Barrett. Vile, vicious, shameful, absolutely shameful. If those on the left had any sense of shame. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. New roof.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have to tell you, it is so amazing to me how the media has one way to respond to liberal women and another way to respond to conservative women. And there is no viewpoint diversity that is welcome when it comes to the mainstream media and the left. And when you look at the treatment that they are already dishing out on Judge Amy Coney Barrett and what they are saying about her, it is religious bigotry.
Those are the words of Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican, Tennessee. She's a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And what she said, I echo. There is always going to be a difference in how the mainstream media deals with conservative women versus liberal women. If you listen to the mainstream media mantra on a constant basis, we're all about women. We're all about inclusive. That means gender and race and transgender. I mean, we want everybody. And we give permission for everyone to have their way. You want to be a snowflake? We'll find you a corner where you can sit and color with your crayons in a book until you get yourself adjusted. You want to be down on the streets rioting and looting and arson? We'll cover that as well. If you march to our drum, if you don't march to our drum, you're not just an enemy, you are the devil. And I think some on the left know what the devil is because it's they have a very close association with it. These attacks on Amy Coney Barrett are, again, amplifying, echoing, and absolutely making it very clear that those on the left do not really respect women. They don't respect blacks. They don't respect gays. If you don't go their way. And the only thing they know then is to attack and destroy. Slash and burn. I had guests yesterday, and we were talking about that very issue. I'm going to break down some of the points again, because this is what we're going to see as we move forward with this nomination procedure. The plan is at this point, Senator Lindsey Graham says we are going to, and he's the Senate Judiciary Chairman, he said we're going to start hearings October the 12th. We should have the hearings completed by October 22nd. And I will add, could be even faster than that, because some Democrat senators say, we're not even going to bother listening. We're not going to go talk to them. We're not going to give her a hearing. So if they don't show up, fine. We'll go proceed anyway. But he says, we will be done by October 22nd. We'll have a full vote ready to be taken to the floor of the Senate before November 3rd. So what can the left do at this point? Well, they do not have the votes to keep it from happening. It's basically a done deal. So what they will try to do is demonize the woman that's being nominated. And they're going after her in numerous ways. But what you heard from Senator Marshall Blackburn then is that they're looking at attacking her on religious grounds, which does constitute religious bigotry. Even House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, who is a Catholic, said Amy Coney Barrett's religion should not be a factor. And it shouldn't. It shouldn't be, first of all, because of the Constitution. And they're also going after the children she adopted. Did she absolutely adopt them legally? They got them from Haiti. And, of course, the noise and the nonsense they're making about that. I'll go back over that. Because I want you to remember it. I do not want you to pass. If you missed yesterday's program, you didn't pull up the podcast, I don't want you to forget some of the things they're now saying. And, of course, the other issue they're going to put up is Obamacare. They're fearful that she will destroy Obamacare. Well, how is Obamacare working for you anyway? You get to keep your doctor. You remember that? You remember that joke? Yeah. And then, of course, the abortion issue. They see because of her Catholicism that she will definitely want to throw out Roe v. Wade. Amy Coney Barrett and her husband have 7 children, 2 of them adopted from Haiti, 1 in 2005, 1 after the 2010 Haiti earthquake. Now, we're going to come back to that issue in a moment. And one of the children she does have, the youngest biological child, was diagnosed with Down syndrome during a prenatal screening, and Amy Coney Barrett said, no, we're going to keep that child. We're not going to abort it. So this is where they're going to try to start their attacks. Those 4 points I laid out. Her religion being the prime issue regarding abortion and being a Catholic, which is not sitting well, by the way, with Democrats who are Catholic. And, of course, the rush to overturn Obamacare and put us, because the Dems really want to see us get full national health care socialism. And, of course, the point being regarding, well, we haven't gotten into the Second Amendment yet, but they will. But also anything else they can shove under the door at the last minute. Senator Lindsey Graham, appearing on Fox News, made it very clear the Democrats will be playing with fire.
Every Democratic senator is going to be under tremendous pressure to destroy Judge Barrett, and they do so at their own peril. I think the American people will not tolerate this fine nominee to be mistreated like Justice Kavanaugh.
And I would certainly agree. We do not want to have a Justice Kavanaugh all over again, do we? They're going to have a hard time labeling this woman as a serial rapist as they did with Kavanaugh. But they are doing everything they can otherwise. You heard Senator Marshall Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, a moment ago, talk about that already as we see how they treat a conservative woman in the mainstream media versus a liberal woman. They're two-faced. It's hypocritical. But they think they're allowed to do so. And she points out that they're not just attacking religion and her religion. They're actually attacking her children. Please listen.
They are saying this woman who takes her children to church every week, that is, they see it as a disqualifier in some regards. You would think that they are aiming to have only atheist or secularist. It is really disappointing to hear that. What they're saying about looking at the adoptions of these children from Haiti is just despicable behavior.
Now, by that, she's talking about, as my guests were lining up for us yesterday, one of them in particular, Giancarlo Canaparo, had written a piece for the Daily Signal, and talking about how they were going after Barrett and her husband, and in particular the two adopted children. One of them, who's a self-described political consultant to Democrats, Dana Howley, or Howell, however you pronounce it, suggesting in a disturbing Twitter thread, I would love to know which adoption agency Amy Coney Barrett and her husband used to adopt the two children from Haiti. In other words, suggesting the press should investigate, find out if they were real. As he said in his tweet before it came down, some adoptions from Haiti were legit. Many were sketchy as hell. Did they do anything unlawful? Do they have any reason to believe they've done anything unlawful? No, but just let's just say it. Put it up there, see if it will fly. But the response from many is, I've got one response here that says, that attack was based on nothing but prejudice and bigotry. And the response from the guy that made that first tweet, oh, just effing spare me. We don't do foreign adoptions because it's so difficult to avoid unethical adoptions. Also, people with bio kids shouldn't be adopting children with whom they have no connection. In other words, you got kids, you shouldn't be adopting any. And again, that clearly is an example of the politics of personal and family destruction that we're seeing from the left. I'm going to get into that in a little bit more detail on exactly some of these groups and what they're doing regarding that issue in a moment. Because it is, I said earlier, shameful, if they understood the word shame. So I'll deal a little bit more in just a moment with the attacks upon children from Haiti being adopted by Amy Coney Barrett and her husband, and the reasons the left suggested took place. We have, as I said, a schedule laid out by Senator Lindsey Graham on how this is going to go down on the hearings. They're going to start October 22nd, and they plan to have a full vote. I'm sorry, they're going to start, October 12th, and 10 days later, on October 22nd, deliver their findings to the full Senate for a vote to take place before November 3rd. Now, you're going to hear a lot of folks say, that's rushing, it doesn't happen that well. Three Supreme Court justices were confirmed in less than 45 days. including Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her entire process took just 42 days. John Paul Stevens, his formal process took only 19 days. Sandra Day O'Connor, 33 days. So it can be done quickly, especially when you have a White House and a Senate willing to accept what they send over right away. Since the Republicans control the White House and the Senate, it will be done quickly. And I want you to keep that in mind also, because going into this election, as we did going into 2016, I kept stressing to you, whether or not you like Trump, whether or not you think he's the best guy, the most lovable guy, you wouldn't want to near your pastor or your church, who do you want to appoint Supreme Court justices? Not to reestablish law of the land, but enforce the Constitution. And that same issue is at stake this time. That's why we must hold the White House and hold the Senate and hopefully get control of the other house and get rid of Nancy Pelosi for good. All right, let me take a break. When we come back, let me break down some of these vile, vicious attacks upon Judge Barrett and her husband because they dared adopt children. Please stand by.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. Crying all the time.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So this attack on Amy Coney Barrett and her husband because they adopted children is just a total smear campaign. You have no other way to explain it. You've got a leftist PAC group called Next Gen Americas. Next Gen America. And the managing director, John Lee Brower, I guess that's the way you pronounce his name. I'd pronounce it Mud, has leveled these vicious smears. He said, and I'm quoting, "As an adoptee, I need to know more about the circumstances of how Amy Coney Barrett came to adopt her children and the treatment of them since. Transracial adoption is fraught with trauma and potential for harm. Everything I see here is deeply concerning." Does that not sound ironic that if you have a white family that's trying to adopt a child, and there are many black children that need adoptions, more so than white children, that most white families are probably not going to adopt a black child, but many do. And now he's saying that's fraught with trauma. As I'd mentioned, my guest yesterday, one of them had also pointed out this kind of thing that they are suggesting, that by adopting these children, what their intent is really is to colonize these children from Haiti. That's right, colonize them. In other words, I don't know, we're going to turn them into slaves or something? Let me tell you a very quick story about this transracial adoption type things. Years ago in Texas, I'm talking about late 60s, early 70s, I'm covering a story. It's a black family that's serving as basically a foster parents for various children. One young boy is put in their care when he's around 2-3 years old. He's a Mexican-American boy, a Mexican child. Well, they cared for him up to around 9. They realized, you know, he could be taken from us at any point. He's become a member of our family. Other children come and go. We want to adopt this child. So they made a move. This black family, I think he was a sanitation worker, moved to adopt the boy because he'd been with them for 7-plus years. And immediately the state of Texas sent in an attorney, a Mexican attorney, to challenge that, saying you're going to hurt this boy's and his culture. And they said, we've been raising him for the last 7 years. What would we have done to hurt him? And here was a question that became laughable, both by the question and the answer, actually. The attorney for the state trying to prevent this adoption asked the father, well, what do you do to protect the child's culture? Well, I don't understand. What do you mean? What do you do to ensure that he knows his heritage is Mexican? He said, the father said, not trying to be joking, he said, maybe this will answer the question. Well, on Tuesday nights we have tacos, that's Mexican taco night. The whole court started laughing. And the father wasn't trying to be funny, but he's saying, really, the question itself was silly. They got to keep the child, thank goodness, despite the state of Texas at that time trying to separate them, claiming that they would not be proper parents because they were black and the child was brown. And here we got Democrats playing that same little ploy. Ignorance is what that amounts to. Well, the other part of the attack from the Democrats coming up. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
To put someone on the court whose views are the exact opposite of Ruth Bader Ginsburg at a time when she asked, as our dying wish, that we wait till the next election to choose somebody is just appalling. That Donald Trump would go ahead and do that and that Mitch McConnell would follow him to do it.
Well, there you have it. Those are the words of Senator Schumer, Democrat, New York, and saying it's just appalling that Trump would nominate someone who's 180 degrees from Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg when her last dying words were, I don't want Trump to appoint anyone to replace me. I want to wait for the election. At least that's what we're told from her granddaughter. That her granddaughter said, this is what my grandma wanted. No appointment with her death. Wait until the next election, and then that president will make the decision. And yet Ruth Bader Ginsburg is still the same one who had also said when Obama was trying to push through Merrick Garland in his last term, saying that he's president until he's not, and that's his obligation to fill the vacancy on the Supreme Court. Filling a vacancy on the Supreme Court is one of the big plums of being president. And of course now, because the Democrats have seen Trump now have an opportunity to appoint three, and if he's reelected, more with vacancies that might occur. They're talking about now, well, we're gonna stack the court. When we get back, we're gonna try to rewrite everything. We're gonna add justices so we can make sure more Democrats get in there. Or we will also tear into the Constitution, rip it up, and say the president will only be allowed to appoint two per term that he exists, he or she exists. The other thing is, and I'm going to give credit to one of our listeners. I read the letter from him the other day that he said, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is really to blame for the chaos we have right now. If she had decided to retire when Obama was urging her, begging her almost, please say you've had enough and let me replace you now. But Ruth Bader Ginsburg believed that Hillary was going to win, and she wanted Hillary to have that opportunity. Well, that didn't play out the way she intended. And her health would not keep her going through this year, the last year for Trump. And we don't really know, other than what her granddaughter says, that her wish was, I don't want Trump to appoint anyone. And, of course, here's Chuck Schumer saying it's appalling that he would do it against her deathbed wishes. And, of course, their big concern is that Amy Coney Barrett is going to be a threat to everything Ruth Bader Ginsburg was endorsing. Now, let's begin with one of those issues, health care.
Now we want to talk about the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett. This is troubling news for hundreds of millions of Americans and their health care. Amy Coney Barrett has said that ACA is wrongly decided. She will be the swing vote on that court. And if she gets on the court, it's a virtual certainty that over 150 million Americans' health care will be hurt dramatically. A vote for Amy Coney Barrett is a vote to decimate the health care that so many Americans need.
Well, that's Schumer and the leftist viewpoint. There have been questions about the Affordable Care Act, or the way it was pushed through anyway. That's why it had to go before the Supreme Court, when then, and Justice Roberts sided with the liberals, deciding, okay, we can make it law of the land. When it was not done properly, it was imposing a revenue issue, which only the House could actually pass, revenue issues, initiate them. But they got what they wanted then. But Senator Marsha Blackburn, Republican of Tennessee, said, all this attack against Amy Coney Barrett on Obamacare also tells you what really is in play for the Democrats.
You've got 8 million people, 8.3 million people that are on Obamacare. But what they're afraid of, Shannon, is that they're going to have a constitutionalist judge who is going to block their right to, or as they see it, their ability to put in place socialized medicine, taking your health care, your health insurance away from 178 million Americans and replacing it with a Medicaid system.
That's exactly what they want to do. They want to basically turn it into a universal health care. And if you thought you had a chance to keep your doctor under Obama's proposal, good luck with that. And one of the issues they're pushing, they're trying to make a big deal out of, is that if she comes in and does this, they will wipe out folks who have pre-existing conditions that will leave them vulnerable. They will lose her insurance. Let me read you a quote from Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, a Senate Judiciary Committee member. He said the allegation, the claim, that Judge Barrett would strike down the Affordable Care Act and leave people with pre-existing conditions vulnerable is nonsense. nonsense, because all Republicans agree we are going to protect pre-existing conditions. Not just because Republicans know that's going to keep them the votes, but that's also what should be done. Don't take insurance away from folks who have pre-existing conditions and leave them vulnerable. Don't deny them. Senator Cruz said, so the Democrat talking point that all the Democrats are now using, and they've got amazing message discipline, is they're all saying this is about health care and pre-existing conditions, which is nonsense. Because all Republicans agree we're going to protect pre-existing conditions. But, of course, the attacks on Trump also are part of this attack on Amy Coney Barrett. And among those stepping up to go after Trump is the second part of the running ticket, Biden-Harris. Or wait a minute, is it the other way around? Is it Harris-Biden? No, for now, Larry, it's still Biden-Harris. But listen to Senator Kamala Harris go on the attack.
This is an individual who is not concerned about the health, safety, and well-being of the American people, and is frankly engaged in a reckless disregard of the lives and the health and well-being of the people of our country. I find it so outrageous. And here we are in this community talking about the number of deaths, talking about the number of people who have contracted the virus, talking about the number of people who have become unemployed or standing in food lines, who are begging of their government that we will extend unemployment benefits because of a pandemic that resulted in economic disaster of a measure compared to the Great Depression. And the Commander-in-Chief of the United States of America was in possession of this information that long ago, but conducted himself the way he did?
There's so many lies within that minute. I gave her a full minute, I think, to make her statement. There's so many lies within that, I don't know where to start. But again, you get the gist. Blame Trump for the pandemic worldwide. And that he didn't take enough action when it came to our shores, which he did. And when he did, they criticized him and said, you're xenophobic, stopping flights from China. And now they're saying we didn't act fast enough. And they want to blame the loss of 200,000 lives, all of them, on Trump. All of them. Could you consider maybe at least 20,000 on Governor Cuomo and his order in New York State to have nursing homes accept and keep COVID-positive patients? Would you possibly? No, we're not going to. Oh, yeah, all the deaths are blamed on Trump. And people standing in line and the economy's wrecked. Where was the economy before it hit our shores? In great, great shape. But here's Kamala Harris. And, of course, she says, this is the time for Joe Biden.
There are so many reasons why Joe Biden needs to be elected president of the United States. And if those reasons did not make it clear why, this certainly does.
This certainly does, what she just said. All this issue of the pandemic and Trump's response or lack of. She said there's so many reasons. Well, when she finished making that statement, if reporters wanted to ask, well, give us some reasons, she didn't stick around for questions. She ran out the door. She does not want to stand there and answer questions. Would not take questions. Why? Well, because it's confusing to them. I'll give you a perfect example of that when we come back. We're going to tell you one of the things she tried to say she's with Joe, but it's still very confusing. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I was telling you about how Kamala Harris made her big statement, as you heard some of a moment ago, saying this president needs to go. He's done terrible things. And for the what he's handled and how he's handled or mishandled the pandemic, for that reason alone, we should get rid of him, and this is the time for Joe Biden. But she didn't stick around to answer any questions about it. Yeah, if reporters wanted to ask when she said, there are numerous reasons as to why we should have Biden, she did not enumerate any because no reporters were allowed to ask any questions. Because when she's done with her statement, I'm out of here. She and Biden have had that attitude from the beginning. They will answer very few limited questions, and then they're gone. But one of the issues she did get asked when she appeared on MSNBC, they look at that as a very friendly venue, and the host, Lawrence O'Donnell, asked, if Judge Barrett is confirmed and Democrats have control of the Senate next year, the White House, House of Representatives, should the Supreme Court be expanded? And she said, Joe's been very clear that he's going to pay attention to the fact, and I'm with him on this 1,000%, pay attention to the fact that right now, Lawrence, people are voting. They're voting. This is not some kind of debate about election year. Should a sitting president be allowed or able to nominate to the Supreme Court for a lifetime appointment? This is not even an election year. This is like we're actually in the election. People started voting. People have been voting. Almost 1 million Americans have been voting. People will be voting next month, and so went on and on. Did you hear an answer to the question? Did you hear an answer to the question? Should the Supreme Court be expanded? And her first beginning was, I'm with Joe 1,000%. He's been very clear. He hasn't been clear, and neither were you. Maybe that's why she doesn't want to answer any questions. She's not sure how she's supposed to answer them. By the way, there is a review, a registered voters in a survey that favor keeping the number of justices at 9. This was a McLaughlin study survey conducted by McLaughlin Associates September 23rd through 27. And 62% favor keeping the Supreme Court at 9, not expanding it. The only reason it would be expanded is for the Democrats so they could play new games. Reindeer games for them all over again. In the meantime, the attacks continue. And the one in the crosshairs now, obviously, is Judge Amy Coney Barrett, as she's coming up for confirmation with the Senate. She is already beginning to visit with senators. She's trying to anyway. She started today, but multiple Democrats refuse to even see her. They say the process leading to her nomination so close to this presidential election is, quote, illegitimate. That is not what they said when they were supporting Merrick Garland. But they're saying this time it's illegitimate. So they're not going to meet with her. One of them, Richard Blumenthal, Democrat, Connecticut. Nope, not going to meet with her. Senator Hirono, Democrat, Hawaii. Nope, not going to meet with her. And, of course, in the meantime, they've got the mainstream media, the leftists doing their attacks on her, accusing her, charging her with things that would amount to racial and religious bigotry under anyone else, but they see it as fair game. But again, a warning for them, if they're going to listen, from Senator Graham, who chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Look at what they're saying about President Trump. Look at what they're saying about Judge Barrett. She's an incredibly capable, well-qualified judicial nominee, somebody you would expect a Republican to nominate to the court. The storylines about her religion are already starting. The one thing I can tell every American, we have a constitutional provision that prevents your religious choice being used against you if you're nominated to the Supreme Court or any other position in the government.
And that's a good thing. Constitution. Protection. The left is up against the wall. They know their back is against the wall. So they're trying to destroy this woman one way or the other, but the senators themselves are trying to keep themselves above the fray. They are a U.S. senator, of course. But we'll have our lackeys and our mainstream prostitutes do the job for us. They will carry our water, they will go on the attack, and we can sit here high in our office and just say, tisk, 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 such terrible things this woman is doing and has done. All right, the debate tonight. How do you think it's going to go? In the next hour, we're going to focus on that, going to get into it in more detail on some of the battle plans and what you can and cannot expect. And also going to be joined by guest Andrew Putzer. This was President Trump's first nominee for Department of Labor, who had been CEO of CKE Restaurants, has out a book, It's Time to Let Americans Work Again, and saying, enough of this COVID lockdown. Open the nation up again. You don't want to miss that interview. And you certainly don't want to miss the next hour. Let your family and friends know we're on the air. Hour two, coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.